Welcome everyone to episode 191 of TLDR Podcast. We are a man short. Tyler is not here. He said something about travel. I don't really know. It was a lot of words. We didn't really, none of us read it. It doesn't matter. He's not here. So it's honestly your favorite three boys. It's just James, Traden, and myself. James, how you doing? What's going on? How was your weekend?
My weekend was long, dude. I had work on Saturday, which is it sucked. I'm not a fan of doubleheaders on Saturday, but it is what it is. One of my girls broke her leg, which sucks. But we mercied the other team for one game. So that was a dub. And yesterday was my one day of my weekend, and that was cool. So I took a nap, much like Tyler's doing now. I don't think he's actually traveling. I think he's just napping.
Dude, everyone loves a good nap. Traden, how are you? And when was the last time you took a nap?
You know what? I actually took a nap for the first time in 2 years yesterday, actually. I don't take naps. Naps are fucking stupid, guys, honestly.
As you took
one. That's the hottest take I'll say on this podcast, but I think they're just a waste of time.
But what if you're like really sleepy?
The reality is I usually just can't nap. So I just say I hate them. Okay. I actually am jealous of the people that can. For some reason, I just was kind of able to yesterday for like, it's only 20 minutes for me though. It's not like it's longer than that.
Oh, bro, I took a 2 hour one on yesterday.
Yeah, see, that's impressive. I can't do that. Like once I'm up, I'm up. Like, sorry. Like, it's just, you know.
But. You know, now that you say that, ladies and gentlemen, Traden just lied to you because Traden took a nap in his truck at Tyler's bachelor.
I did lie to you.
So take everything that Traden says from this point.
Okay, I should say it's a non-alcohol or other induced nap. Deal. I mean, that doesn't count. I mean, everybody's sleeping on the with the
everyone.
But like during the week, I don't know how people do it. Like, it's just crazy.
He also took a nap right before Tyler's wedding after he popped a little Zinski.
See, again, it when drugs or alcohol are involved, yes, I get sleepy.
Okay. That's okay. We all take naps. It happens. But Traden, we're going to throw it right back to you and jump into the NHL. So take it away.
Yeah, so I wanted to keep it a little light, keep it a little fun without Tyler. We're going to postpone the rest of the rankings on the West for another couple weeks because I'll probably host next week. I don't know if that's fair considering we're going to have a lot more information for the Pacific. Then again, the Pacific is kind of ass past what, four teams. So, we'll see what happens, see how things shake out. It'll be an interesting 2 weeks. But I decided to just, we're going to have a conversation with you two guys. About, you know, the East and its playoff picture and how things are shaking out. But first, as usual, we're going to go with the in-season cup. I do want to park some time really quick to just, talk about fantasy, but we'll get through the in-season cup first because I have it up. The Colorado Avalanche have had the cup since the 13th. So I actually have the cup right now, which I'm playing more of a spoiler role now. I know that I've been eliminated in terms of days, but it keeps it from Tyler. It keeps it from Alex getting days. So James, I guess I'm the best person, not you, to have the day, to have the cup, I would say. So I'm sure you're smiling about that. Unfortunately, my Oilers had another chance at it on Saturday against the Avs and weren't able to get it done. To which some of us, when it comes to the marquee matchup, say shit. All right. I know that we are now, I believe we are officially in playoffs. We are out today. As of today, we are officially in playoffs for fantasy hockey. I know I haven't talked about fantasy much this season. Frankly, it hasn't been good for me. but it has been very good for a few people. Our buddy Weitzman, I'm going to just take his last name there. Did end up taking the regular season down, and he is playing the fourth seeded Alex. So
week 10, Alex, baby.
You got to have a good 2 weeks here if you want to move on. And it's a battle of the Kings, guys. The second and third seeded Jessica King and Tyler King are facing off in what will be a great, great 2 weeks for them. We'll see how it shakes out. If Jess is as cutthroat as Kylie is, Kylie's talking shit, or Jess is, I'm sorry, Jess is talking shit and saying, hey, you know, I hope your guy just gets a penalty, or I'm not going to say injured because no one wants to see an injury, but maybe he breaks a nail and he has to sit out a few shifts and doesn't get that goal. I don't know. I'm sure she's talking shit, and I hope she is, because I'd love to see Jess edge out Tyler. And Alex, I'd love to see an upset. I'd love to see you go at least an upset in the playoffs. All right, let's get to the fun stuff. So we've been talking about the playoffs and the race in the East for a while now. And interestingly, I think we could have actually had this conversation about the West now, because I think the West is a little more, or at least for the wild card race, is a lot tighter than, you know, we talked about in the earlier. I'm not going to say that Vegas has it in the bag anymore. I think that you're whack if you think that. And I think all of us on this podcast, including Tyler, who's not on the podcast today, would say, please, for the love of God, Vegas, with everything that you've done in the trade deadline, just miss the playoffs. That would just be epic. But we're going to talk about the East today, because I just think the battle for the wild card spot is insane. I believe, and I think, I hope that you guys maybe agree, but maybe not. Maybe you think that a couple of these other teams, that the three other teams outside these three teams are playing for a wild card spot. But in my opinion, I think it is a 3-4 team race for the Metro spot and the last wild card spot. In my opinion, there's four teams that I think are kind of in the mix, or that are mostly in the mix. I'm looking at Pittsburgh, I'm looking at Buffalo, and even New Jersey, and saying the math's just not there. I mean, maybe if they go on a crazy run, that's there, or they can happen. But I think the math's a little too hard for them with the amount of teams ahead of them. So we're going to focus on these four teams. We have Philadelphia, who's sitting in the third spot in the Metro. We have Detroit, who's sitting in the second wildcard spot. And then we have Washington, and we have New York. And surprisingly, I know the fact that Washington and New York are even in this conversation is wild, but they're very much in this mix. So that's three teams vying for a spot in the Metro, and four teams vying for a spot in the second wildcard position. And I just want to ask you guys, what are your guys' feelings, thoughts about where things are going to shake out? Detroit has not looked great. Philadelphia is not horrible, but they're just not quite as clicking as they were. But New York and Washington, wow, they are winning games, even though they have terrible goal differentials. So let's start with you, James. If I'm not mistaken, your Q3 predictions had it exactly as it is now. Are you changing your tune a little bit? Are you thinking that some of these teams on the outside have a chance to climb up and make it the postseason?
I am going to change it a tiny bit here. Washington has impressed me. I mean, we all gave up on Washington pretty early on after their beginning of just how terrible they were. And then the beginning of February, they lost like six games straight. But I was looking at their schedule, and ever since that beginning of February, I think February 8th was the last of that six-game skid, they've won more games than they've lost. And I mean, that's not saying a whole lot, but to make it to the playoffs and get points, you need to win more than you lose. If you ever want to win, you got to win more than you lose. And I think they're finally starting to figure it out goaltending-wise. Charlie Lindgren's taken over, and he's really coming to his own, and he's playing really, really well. He's like taking over that net, and he's not letting go. When Kemper's in there, he's trash. So Lindgren is who you want to go with right now, and it sucks for Kemper, who was a really great goaltender when he was the Avs, but right now, he's lost it. It's Lindgren, and Lindgren should stay in net for the rest of the time if they want to make that playoff spot. So I think that instead of the Flyers taking that spot, I actually do have Washington sneaking in and taking the third Metro spot. As for the second wild card, it could either be, if the Flyers don't get it, I mean, I think Washington takes that second wild card spot, but there's also a chance that Detroit hangs on. And I know they haven't been playing well. They've been horrible recently, like absolutely horrible, huge skid, giving them seven goals. But they had a win recently, and I thought they were starting to figure it out, but they really didn't, because they lost the next game. But I think that if they're well-coached and they're a resilient team, they have these upcoming two games to figure it out. And that's against the Blue Jackets and the Islanders. If they can figure it out, I like their chances. Because later on, the rest of their schedule, like the very end of their schedule, is nice. You play Buffalo, the Penguins, the Habs two times to finish off the season. So that last game against the Habs could be a really pivotal game. So if they can figure it out these next two games, I think they keep that second wildcard spot.
All right. Well, the Red Wings are really scaring me. And look, I think the Red Wings were really playing off of a PDO high over the first half and maybe even creeping into the second half of the season. But now that's starting to really catch up to them. Of all the teams that I have mentioned, they have the worst point percentage. So they have the most games played relative to everyone else, except Philly. But Philly has, you know, two more points than them. Both New York and Washington have games at hand and only 1 point behind. So it's going to take, you know, Washington and New York control their destiny in this point. But to your point, Detroit, you know, has had a great start, and maybe they can kind of bring that back. Patrick Kane can continue doing his thing, and things can kind of solidify and stabilize in that. But as of late, I haven't liked the way that Detroit's played. And they worry me. Alex, does Detroit worry you? How are you feeling about the last Metro spot and that wildcard spot?
Yeah, so Detroit is in a tough situation because they're not in the Metro. They're in the Atlantic, which means they can really only make it as a wild card. They're not going to catch Boston, Florida, or Toronto. Not happening. So they have one spot. And Tampa, I guess, and also Tampa. We're excluding them. I think we all agree that Tampa's going to make the playoffs as one of those wild card teams. So Detroit is in a really sticky situation because they have one spot to make it, where this third Metro spot and then these other teams, Washington and the Islanders, technically have like two spots that they could potentially fit in. And that's what I'm predicting. I think both Washington and the Islanders make it. So I think the Islanders, I'm looking at their schedule, and I think it may all come down to their next six games. So they've got Carolina, Detroit, huge game, Winnipeg, who's great, the Devils, and then Florida and Tampa. There's their next six games. If they can get four wins out of that, I mean, Carolina we see as one of the top teams in the East. Florida is potentially the best team in the league. Winnipeg's been fantastic. As bad as New Jersey has been, they still have top-end talent, and obviously Tampa is Tampa. It's like, I think the Islanders have a shot. They've been playing much better hockey, and James, we know we love a good goalie. They have the best goalie out of any of these teams. And I think, you know, we were really considerate of when Patrick Waugh took over, thinking, is this going to help? And they've had some ups and downs. Traden, I feel like you've been kind of on the Islanders as that sneaky team for the last little bit. I think they potentially sneak in as that third spot in the Metro. Philly falls out. And Washington, James, I agree with you. They've been playing really well. I kind of want to see Ovi have like one last ride in the playoffs, because I don't think we did not have Washington being this good this year. And if they can make it and Detroit could potentially fall out, that would be a crazy end to this. But I have a feeling it's going to be like last year with Florida and Pittsburgh, where it comes down to the last day of the season, and a win here or there, or an overtime loss instead of a win is going to come down to a point or two. But if I had to choose, like the Islanders, this next week and a half, make or break. If you get a lot of wins, I think you can ride that into the playoffs. If you only beat, say, Detroit and New Jersey and then lose the other four, I think they're done.
Yeah. I like your guys' thoughts on Washington. It's a very optimistic view of Washington. I sit here and I look at Washington. I even look at New York, even though I think New York is I've said that they're the kind of sneaky team. I especially look at Washington and I say, how in the fuck are you even close to a playoff spot? You have a negative 30 goal differential, which is, I mean, look, I know that at the end of the day, all we care about is wins. We don't care how you get there, just win games. So if you're going to lose bad, I guess. But it just doesn't compute with me. I mean, we've always seen teams with positive, run differentials in baseball. Like if you have a negative run differential, you're like, how are you in the playoffs? It just doesn't make sense. But here we are. Washington finds ways to win games, if even if they're close. I just find it hilarious that they're here. Honestly, guys, I think all four of these teams are if you're Boston or you're New York, you're salivating at playing this team. Or in the case of the Metro team, Carolina is salivating at whomever they get to play. Like they're loving it. Then again, we know that hockey is a crapshoot, but again, it's Carolina, it's New York, and it's Boston and or Florida. Like it, you know, it's pretty easy feast right there, I would think. For me, Thursday's game, Islanders Red Wings. I don't know if you guys, I think Alex, you did allude to that. That game is massive. Those are the games that are what I consider 4-point games. If Islanders or Red Wings win in regulation, it's a huge swing in one direction or the other. I'm gonna tell you guys what the strength of schedule is. So Washington has the fourth hardest schedule in the East. We have Detroit's sixth to last, followed by New York, and then Philly having the easiest schedule. And I say easiest, but they're like 0.1 something, difference with very hard teams that they have to play. Some teams that you have to play that are teams that are of your caliber. So we have Philadelphia that's going to play the Islanders. We have Detroit that's going to play the Capitals twice. Alongside the Islanders game I mentioned. Just really quick, James, how important do you think the next 2 weeks are?
I mean, extremely important. If you win more than you lose, like the Capitals have been doing, you're in good shape. But if you lose more than you win, it's pretty simple stuff. And I mean, with what, only a couple more weeks after that of the season left, like this is pivotal. This is crunch time. This is the fourth quarter for these teams. They either got to show up now or just stop playing.
Yeah. I look at the Islanders. I see that they have the Flyers on Monday, April 1st. That'll be a game we got to watch. And they end the season with the Penguins, which is not a huge game, but it might be a game that they absolutely need. And Pittsburgh could be that team that Chicago was to them, be the team that knocks them out of the playoffs. So we'll see. For me. I like the Islanders making it. I really do. I think that they are going to sneak into the wild card spot. There's just something about the Philadelphia Flyers, and I don't know if it's the heart that I love. It's the story. But I think that they're going to hang on to their Metro spot. I really do. I think they're going to figure it out. I don't love that analysis. It's very heart. Heartstring type of thing, but there's just something about that team that I think are going to find a way to come together and get it done. Especially, you know, Torts is coming off of his ridiculous two game suspension, and they're going to be fired up for their coach. And that just kind of happens down these last 2 weeks. He's going to do everything he can to get them in. So it'll be interesting. I think beyond the hope that Vegas falls out, I think that Eastern wildcard spot and that Metro spot are going to be just an absolute dogfight the rest of the way. The last thing I do want to talk about the over under situation. We haven't looked at over unders in a while, and I just, you know, want to update everything and give you guys some stats here. So Tyler is not very good at over-unders. He's 12 and 20. He has 12 correct, 37.5%. I'm not that great either. I'm just shy of 500. I have 15 correct, 17 incorrect. And both you guys are 18 and 14. So you guys are quite good, doing quite a great job at predicting that. In terms of the Toronto Maple Leafs, that's a team where we all had them taking the under, and they're over right now. So all of us are just Leaf haters, and I'm not sure if it just rubs off. Also with Tampa Bay, they are actually under, and we had them going over. So we might be a little bullish on Tampa Bay there. Teams like the Rangers, we predicted perfectly. The Ottawa Senators predicted perfectly. The Pittsburgh Penguins, we called it, guys. We called that Pittsburgh is going to be shitty. So it's been fun to follow this. But right now, I mean, Alex and James, you guys are definitely in the running to being the new hockey guys, because I can't win a marquee matchup to save my life, and I can't win an over-under to save my life. So Yeah, so there's that. All right, let's get to the marquee matchups now that we're here. First of all, I had another dismal week. I went 2-1, I believe. James, thanks for showcasing that to the world. And that brings me to 16-20. I'm actually losing this whole thing. I was winning by a margin. You guys are all within one game of each other. So Alex, you're 21-15. James, you're 22-14, and Tyler, you're 23-13. And I know you're not on here, but there it is. Tyler did give me his marquee matchups for the for this one, and I will sprinkle in his, you know, as I ask for your guys's. So I have picked a team. I picked a game where each of our teams are playing. This is a TLDR marquee matchup week, starting with the Chicago Blackhawks headed to Anaheim. James, the Ducks fan, who do you got?
Ah, shit.
Anaheim just I'm sorry, the Chicago Blackhawks just had a crazy bounces in their direction against San Jose and just ran the score up. So
yeah, I'm gonna go Chicago. The Ducks have been horrible. They've barely scored in like freaking 8 games or something. They're bad. So I'm gonna go Chicago.
Is this hoping that they lose so that you get, you know,
No, they're just so bad that even if they tried to win, they'd still lose.
Fair enough. Tyler said the Anaheim Ducks. And Alex, what do you got?
James. I'm going to go Blackhawks then, because I was going to go Ducks. But if James is so sad about his own team, I can't. We're going to go full sadness then. So we're going Blackhawks, even though they got... just destroyed by my Kings like 4 days ago.
But yeah, it's the Ducks, and I'm gonna get destroyed by the Ducks.
You never know.
I'm gonna take the Ducks here just to be different. I just hope they can figure it out. We have Tampa Bay headed to LA. Alex, let's start with you.
Oh, we're not very good at home, but I don't care. A rematch of what? The 2008 number one and number two overall picks, Stamkos and Doughty. Dude, Drew Doughty's having such a good year. So based on that, LA Kings. God, I love Drew Doughty so much.
I'm sure, yes. Every Kings fan does. Tyler, too, took LA. Surprise, surprise there. James, your turn.
Tampa Bay.
This one's tough. I'm going to say Tampa. I think they're in a situation where the switch needs to be turned on and it's time to start playing, you know, meaningful games. I know that they're probably going to make it, but they need to get that rhythm going. So I'm going to say Tampa Bay. And then my turn. Edmonton is headed to Toronto on Saturday night, hockey night in Canada. We got Austin Matthews versus Connor McDavid, starting with me since, you know, it's my team. I'm going to say Edmonton. For some reason, the Oilers just get up for these games against Toronto and just shows that fucking Connor McDavid is not going to Toronto, guys. It's just not going to fucking happen. Alex.
Yes, I can't imagine the Oilers are going to lose another big game like, unfortunately, they did against the Avs. I think they're going to come out flying, Oilers.
Did anybody catch that game on Saturday? It was an amazing hockey game. No. Just objectively fast, unbelievable. James, Edmonton Oilers at Toronto.
I got the Oilers because Connor McDavid is not going to Toronto.
Well, he is to play a hockey game, but not to stay there. And Tyler too said Edmonton, and he rounds it out by picking all the TLDR teams.
It worries me when we all pick the same teams, though. That's what happened with Lakers Warriors, where you were all so confident the Lakers are going to win.
And here's the thing, though. So when I left the podcast, I was like, yeah, we all said the Lakers. And Kylie's like, well, Curry's going to be back. I'm like, no, he's not. She's like, yeah, he is. Sure enough, he's back. And yeah, that happened. So right, well, I almost texted you guys and I said, can I change my answer? No. Nope. thank you, guys. That's all I have for hockey this week.
Thank you, Traden. Yeah, I hope for your sake that you get most of them right, but not Tampa, because go Kings, go. We are going to take a quick break, and then James is taking us through the NL Central, which he said off air that he knows much about, many things. We'll be right back. Welcome back, everyone. Tyler is napping. He doesn't love the Midwest part of the country, but you know who does? James. We're doing the NL Central. Baseball is coming soon. We couldn't wait for Tyler to wake up, so James is taking over. James, take us through the NL Central.
Yeah, the NL Central. There are teams that play baseball in this area of the world. So Alex lied. I know nothing. Okay, nothing is an overstatement, but I know very little about the NL Central, but I'm covering them anyway because, you know, why not? Trying new things. 2024 is what we do. So we're going to start with the Milwaukee Brewers. In 2023, they went 92-70, first place in the division, but they lost in the WCS to the Diamondbacks. This offseason, they signed their outfield prospect, Jackson Churio, to an 8-year contract. They also signed Rhys Hoskins and hired Pat Murphy as their manager. They have some pitching problems on this team, and some pretty big ones, because they traded away Corbin Burns, who was their ace, to the Orioles. Brandon Woodruff is out for the season, and their closer, all-star closer, Devin Williams, is going to miss at least 2 months. They also lost their manager, who was a good manager, to the Cubs, who's in this division, who we'll talk about later. But on the bright side, like I mentioned before, they did sign their top prospect, who could play a lot this season, depending on if he makes the opening day roster or not. Alex, one hope, one concern. What do you got?
Yeah, starting with the hope. They have a lot of young outfield prospects that are coming up that are going to be legit. I mean, you mentioned Jackson Churio. He's not played a single game in Major League Baseball, and they gave him 8 years, however much money you said. So, like, he's supposed to be a dude. So you're hoping that he can help kind of take over. And, you know, as their offense, we've talked about this for years. Their offense has been shit, and their pitching was fantastic, and that's what carried them. Now it's just kind of switch. So you're hoping that the Brewers and this kind of young core, and then led by Christian Yelich, can start taking a step forward on the offensive side. Reasons for concern. James, you mentioned it. Their pitching is brutal. Obviously, they traded Corbin Burns away. Devin Williams getting hurt. He had like fractures in his back, which sounds terrible. That sounds like the worst thing ever. So you're kind of led by Freddie Peralta, who had a great year last year. And he will be the headline of that rotation. And then the rest of it is a lot of question marks, kind of just journeyman type guys who maybe they'll come to Milwaukee and that pitching factory will help boost them. But with a lot of the other teams in this division getting better, it's not looking great up in Milwaukee, but you got sausages and you got beer. So that's a positive.
They are the Brewers. They definitely do have beer, and that's a great positive. The over-under is set at 76.5. Alex, over or under?
I want to believe in them, but I'm not sure this is the year. This feels like a rebuilds kind of pause year, so I'm going to take the under.
Trading over or under?
I'm taking the under as well here.
I actually have them going over at 78 wins for this team, because I think that having that Jackson Cherokee is going to have a little bit of a boost. Kind of nice. Tyler picked the under. I'm going to read verbatim what he said. That seems like a pretty fair line, so I don't expect them to be too far under that number, but there's not going to be a whole lot of optimism for the Brew Crew in 2024. I read that really well. I'm really good at reading lines. Moving on to the next team, Chicago Cubs. 2023, 83-79. They missed the postseason. This offseason, they hired Craig Counsell as a manager. They re-signed Cody Bellinger and signed starting pitcher Shota Imaga. Yeah, I'm not good at reading names, though. So they had a huge change in leadership. That's the biggest thing here. David Ross is out. Craig Counsell is in. Cody Bellinger looked like his prime Dodger self last season, and they re-signed him to a massive deal. And they also have starting pitcher Justin Steele, who looks to lock down that ace spot after his breakout season last season. They have a really good mix of young talent and some tested vets. So this is a pretty solid team. Trayden, hoping to turn.
Solid team indeed. I'm going to start with the concern. And I think the concern is, it's a concern that could turn into something great, but my concern is Shota Imanaga not his game, maybe not translating to the American game as well as it could. He's going to be a huge part of that lineup. And if it doesn't work out, that could be a problem for this team that really needs that pitching to really show out. But the reason for hope is kind of the entire this team, the way it's built. It's a young team that missed the playoffs by a single game. I was on this podcast every fucking week saying the Cubs are going to make the playoffs. The Cubs are going to make the playoffs. And I wasn't way off. I was off by a single game. And they're a team that I think, you know, re-signing Bellinger's huge. And signing Imanaga could be huge. And I hope it's huge for this team. They have a lot of young bats. They have a lot of great talent for a team in a division that is not very good. And that's a reason for hope for this team. Yes, I know that they missed the top of the Central by a margin, but I think this is a team that we should be watching potentially has a chance to take the division or at least make a wild card spot. I think that they learned a lot last year. The change of the guard at I think is going to help at the management side with a team that already looks like they're gelling and things are working. You add that pitcher in Imanaga, and I think that you have a team that could very well compete for this division, especially with how weak it is.
Over under is set at 84.5. Trade in over or under.
I'm going to take the over here, guys. That's only two more games, and I think that they have at least five more games than last year. So I'm going to say 88.
Wow. Alex, over under.
I'm also taking the over. This feels like a year the Cubs need to take that next step and start pushing. I'm over.
I am also over. I love the Craig Counsell pickup here. David Ross is great, but Craig Counsell is kind of the guy to go to here. Tyler also picked the over. He said, I think the Cubs will build on the success of last season and end their postseason drought. Moving on to the next team, we have the Cincinnati Reds, 2023, 82 and 80. They missed the postseason. Offseason, Tyler said nothing of note. This team has so much young talent. Hunter Green, Gamer Candelario, Christian has a really long last name. Matt McClain, Jonathan India. And of course, you have Ellie De La Cruz, who's been like the fantasy darling. Their pitching could be better. I mean, everybody's pitching could really be better here. But there's so much young talent. And if this young talent takes another step forward, this team is competing in a very winnable division. Alex, hope and concern.
Yeah, reason for hope. Just what you mentioned, a lot of young guys that are coming up together at once. And you're hoping that, you know, if you're a Reds fan, that they can build upon this, you know, for the next 5 years or so. Reasons for concern. The pitching is iffy. I mean, they signed Frankie Montas in the offseason. He has pretty much been nothing for the last 2 years for the Yankees. That was kind of a flyer. Hunter Green he's got nasty stuff, but we've never really seen him kind of finish a whole or like, you know, compete throughout the whole season and be that ace that they were looking for. And then it's a lot of kind of mix and match, and we'll see how it goes. Great American Ballpark, where the Reds play, is known for being a hitter's ballpark. So they're going to need good pitching to keep the ball in the yard. But that lineup, it's young, it's fun. They should mash the ball a lot. And just like what Trey had mentioned with the Cubs, this is a weak division. It honestly feels like any five of these teams could potentially win this division. So if you're Cincinnati, I think you have to look at it and think, we can do this. We saw the Cubs miss the playoffs by a game. The Reds missed it by what, three games? We need to see the Reds take that next step, just like the Cubs did last year.
Over under set at 82.5. Over under, Alex.
I'm going to take the over. I don't think they make the playoffs, just because I think there's some other teams that got better in the National League in general. But I'm going to take the over.
Traden.
I'll take the over.
Okay, just cool. I'm going to go with under on this team. I think this pitching stuff is. Hunter Green, he throws gas, but he has a lot of trouble locating the ball and having some control and not having anybody else in the rotation that can really help him out. I think that's going to screw them. Yes, they can hit a lot and they can score a lot of runs, but can they keep the other team under that amount of runs that they score? I don't know. So I'm going to go the under there. Tyler has the over. He says the Reds continue to improve and develop their young talent and will snag a wildcard spot. Big words from Tyler. Moving on to the next team, we have the Pittsburgh Pirates. In 2023, 76 and 86, they missed the postseason. This offseason, they signed Rowdy Tellez and re-signed Andrew McCutchen, signed Dolan Chapman, and signed Mitch Keller to a five-year extension. They had a great start last season, and people were like, wow, are they going to make the playoffs? But they ran out of gas. They have a really good young core in Brian Reynolds, Cabrian Hayes, and O'Neill Cruz, and he's back and healthy. They also locked down Mitch Keller for a long time. But outside of Keller, that rotation really has nobody else. So it's kind of just like the Reds we just talked about. Like the rotation is the issue there. So if they want to be successful, I think they need to have some improvements in that rotation. Traden, one reason for hope, one reason for concern.
I'm going to start with the concern again. this roster all around is it's barely decent. I would say they project to be among the worst at first base, second base, right field, DH. Rotation is solid enough, is it going to be enough is the question mark. And you know, I don't know if we look at the Pirates. I mean, they did do some nice spending. And when I say spending, I'm saying from their perspective, not overall perspective, was admirable. But I just don't know if this is going to be good. You know, if I worry about this lineup going down the stretch. That said, reason for hope, this division is not good. At least there's no big dog in the fight. When everybody's really close, and even still, like they were 8 games behind the wild card spot. I mean, I know that seems like a lot, but when you look at it holistically, it's not like they were way out of it. And you can expect that there's going to be a big battle for within that division. And that alone could, you know, you get hot, you play well against your division, you could definitely see yourself in a better position than last season. And I think the expanded playoffs, this is a type of team I could see take advantage of that expanded playoffs. So they get a little extra chance to make it, and then you see where you can go. My reason for hope, easier division, or at least a more well-rounded division all the way through, and there's no big dogs, and expanded playoffs kind of work in their favor.
Over under is set at 73.5. Over under.
I'll take the over. I don't think they're going to take they're going to go wildly, you know, lower. I'll take 74 wins.
Alex.
I'm going to have to take the under just because I think they're the weakest team, but I think they could surprise some people.
I'm going to go under as well. Trading made a lot of good points about their weak spots, and those are some pretty big weak spots. So I think I'm going to take the under on that one. Tyler also took the under. He says, as much as I would like to be optimistic about the Pirates, I think they're still a couple years away from being a winning team. I think they overachieved a ton last season and will fall back a bit into 2024. And moving on to our last team in this division, the St. Louis Cardinals, 2023, 71 and 91, which obviously missed the postseason. This offseason, they picked up Sonny Gray, Kyle Gibson, Lance Lynn, and they signed Brandon Crawford. They had a horrible year last year that I don't think anybody expected. Like so bad that I chalked that up to their catcher being gone forever. You know, that sucks. But I think their biggest issue was pitching, and they fixed that with the additions of those vets like Sonny Gray, Kyle Gibson, and Lance Lynn. And I get Lance Lynn doesn't throw a ton of strikeouts, but he does eat up a lot of innings, so that's great. They still have two of the best hitters in the game in Nolan Arenado and Paul Goldschmidt. And I think if pitching stays healthy, this team looks pretty solid. Traden, hope and concern.
Yeah, I think at the end of the day the reason for hope is, again, it's going to kind of be I'm going to be a broken record. It's the fact that you have a more than solid lineup in a very, very competitive National League Central division. They have the chance if everyone's healthy and everyone's rolling and you see some players step up, they definitely have the makings of a team that can win this division. And it helps when, you know, if you have all that, you know, talent, and you have all that, you have a roster that's more than capable. That being said, I don't think they did enough for their rotation. I think that Sonny Gray's great, but beyond that, I just don't know if they have the arms to manage the entire season, and is it going to be enough? And that's the biggest question. I think the bullpen's solid enough. I think they're going to need a couple guys stepping up, but they're a bit old, and I just don't know if they have enough good pitching to really make a full stamp all the way through the season, especially when I think a lot of these teams in the NL Central are going to be playing meaningful games for a lot longer than they have in the past.
Over under here is set at 84.5. Over under.
I'm going to say under because I just, it, you know what? Yeah, I'm going to say under. I just, I don't know if they're going to be able to stay. It's not going to be much below that, maybe one or two games. I just don't know if the pitching is strong enough to continue all the way through.
Alex.
This is a tough one because you look at the Cardinals and you think last year must have just been a blip because they've been so good for so long and then they were so shitty. But that's 15 games pretty much to make up, 71 to then 85, 14 games, whatever. That's a lot from one year to the next, but I might have to go over. You just have to believe that the Cardinals are going to cardinal it up, and of course they're going to be good again.
And I agree with you there. I also have the over. This a lot went wrong for this team last season, and they just kind of snowballed into worse things. But I think they go back and become better than they were last year. And I know Trayden said he didn't like the rotation additions, but I like them a lot. I'm a huge fan of Cal Gibson. Lance Lynn will eat up innings, and Sonny Gray just had a hell of the last 3 years. So I'm a huge fan of them, and so I think I'm going to go over. Tyler says over as well. The Cardinals will be back to their winning ways in 2024. A lot of things went wrong for them last year, and I don't expect that to happen again. And that wraps up the NL Central, ladies and gentlemen. Hope you guys enjoyed. Hope I did Tyler proud when he wakes up from his nap. I hope you listened to this. And yeah, that's that for baseball and me.
James, thank you so much. Opening day, real opening day is in about a week and a half. The Dodgers and the Padres do open with some technically real games in Seoul, South Korea, starting just at buttfuck o'clock California time, which is a real bummer, but I will be waking up to watch them. We're going to take a quick break, and then I'm going to do a very quick basketball segment just because I wasn't really supposed to since it was my turn to host, but we'll just throw some stuff out there real quick. We'll be right back. Welcome back. We are going to do a very quick basketball segment. Kind of like I mentioned last week, we're getting closer to the playoffs, which means we're kind of just waiting for seeding. And then we will have some bigger breakdowns of stuff going on once we kind of know more. We're going to start similar to what Trayden did, but it's not who's going to make the playoffs. It's who needs home court advantage throughout, is specifically the Western Conference. So as we stand right now, Monday, March 18th, Oklahoma City is the number one seed. They're half a game up on Denver, who then in turn is half a game up on Minnesota. So those three teams are separated by a single game. Their home records are eerily similar. OKC is 27-7 at home. Denver is 27-6. Minnesota is 23-8. They've just played more games on the road as we stand right now than those other two teams. But Trayden, I'm going to start with you. Which one of those three? Because again, obviously, if you get the one seed and you win out, like we saw Denver do last year, they're home. They have home court throughout the playoffs. Which one of those three do you think it's most important for them to get that one seed and have that advantage?
Oh, it's actually tough because, I mean, like you said, you kind of already alluded to it. All three teams have very, very similar records. I'm gonna say. I'm gonna say Minnesota Timberwolves, and I know, and I'm just gonna take a shot in the dark here.
Okay,
I'm gonna say that because I think, if I'm not mistaken, and I think we've talked about this, Minnesota's offense has not been great. It's obviously good enough for them to win games, but it's really their defense that they've been riding the D all season. I mean, we use that because it was used on, it was used in the playoffs for football. I'm going to say it in here. It's just, they've been riding their defense the entire season. I think that if I know anything about basketball, the home court advantage will help, you know, you in on the offensive side of the game. I like to think your team, your arena, your fans, you get a little bit of that behind you. I think that they're going to need that, especially a team that is finally kind of stepping forward and trying to make moves in the playoffs. I think having that atmosphere, having that court advantage is going to help you, especially if you're a team that struggles to score compared to Denver, compared to OKC, and compared to a couple of these other teams. So I think it's going to bode well for them, especially because they're just not as strong offensively.
Yeah, I like that a lot. Yeah, as you mentioned, so if we're just going based off of opponents' points per game, Minnesota has the best defense in the league. They're first in points that they give up. They're 19th in their own points, so middle of the pack. So Trayden, I like that a lot. James, do you agree? You got another team in mind.
I got another team in mind. It might shock you guys, but I have some really good reasons behind it. And it's the Denver Nuggets, who, you know, you guys have the MVP guy going there. But my reason is the Mile High Air is a game changer. Playing at home is going to make other teams tired, especially because they're going to be playing at least two games at a time. And it takes 10 to 14 days to acclimatize to whatever habitat you're in. And the Mile High is one of it. And that could be, like, honestly, one of the best home court advantages there is. There's no other way you can acclimatize that unless you're there for a long period of time. And Denver is there all the time because that's their home. They're going to continue to simply just tire teams out over time, and that's what they're going to do. There's also on the teams that can have that number one seed that you had talked about, those three teams, the Nuggets have the most losses on the road with 15. So I'm not saying they're bad on the road. They just have more losses on the road than the other teams. Thunder have 13. The Wolves have 13. They also have the best home record. Like, that, everything is pointing towards Denver plays better at home. And they are a good team to begin with. And if you give them that little advantage in air, like, I think they'll run with it.
Yeah, I was flipping between those two. I think OKC is just so, they're just so young and loose right now that they're kind of like, who cares? Like, we'll beat anybody anywhere. And we talked about it last year during the playoffs. Like, how much does the altitude help Denver? And we see it in baseball all the time and all the shit that happens in Colorado. We see the Avs, who are a freaking wagon at home. It's the same thing with any teams that have to go to Denver to play as a road team. I'm very 50-50. I think Denver is very focused on getting that one seed, knowing that. And I kind of expect them to do it. So, James, I think I agree with you. Because I do think if Cat comes back healthy, Minnesota's defense can play anywhere. And they're maybe one of the better teams situated to deal with Denver, having potentially both Cat and Rudy Gobert to deal with Jokic. So I think for Denver, it is the most important. So that, I like that a lot. But Traden, James swayed me by like a hair. And then just the next question real quick. We talk about how, especially in the NBA, there are guys that take over and can win you a playoff series. Most recently, we talk about playoff Jimmy all the time. So James, you can be a player or a team, I guess, now, that you want to see kind of take that leap, take that next step and sort of become like that guy or that team that we look into kind of moving forward.
I like the Cleveland Cavaliers here, mainly because I did pick them to go all the way. But there is so much talent on this team. And last season, they didn't make out of the first round. And last season was the first time they made the playoffs since 2017 when LeBron was still on the team. So they're making a big leap to make the playoffs, but they can't get out of the first round just yet with the stacked team that they have. And I would love to see Donovan Mitchell absolutely take over with this team specifically, because we saw him do it with the Jazz. I want to see him do it with the Cavs. Or I could watch Darius Garland just keep out his breakout season in the playoffs. Or to see Jared Allen, who is using his motivation from getting snubbed out of an all-star game, to continue playing at the high level that he's playing at now. This team is stacked, and I want to see them go farther. They're a fun team to watch, offensively and defensively. I'd like to see him make it out of the first round.
Okay, I like that a lot. Traden, what about you?
Mine is less so. The James kind of took it as a team that he'd like to see step forward because, you know, they're up and coming and they're a team that's fun to watch. Mine is kind of the opposite.
Okay.
It's a team that needs to get it done because it's like we've been talking about them year after year after year. And I'm hoping you guys have already kind of caught on to the team that I'm going to pick. They're in this city that we live near, and it's not one of the most historic teams in the NBA. It's the Los Angeles Clippers. The Los Angeles Clippers have been just a disappointment year after year after year after year. And I continue to say that because they just are a disappointment when it comes to games that matter the most. And they're already starting to see that. So we've already seen that they're having some issues with, you know, like an identity that the Clippers had. And I was on this podcast a couple weeks ago saying this Clippers team looks different. Like, this Clippers team might actually do something this year. And then now we're starting to see when games really matter, things are starting to go awry. I don't know if what they're missing, but I don't know if there's a chemistry issue. I don't know if it's a identity issue. It seems to be an identity issue. That's coming from the team, you know, from the team veterans like Paul George. And the frustration within that, you know, within that organization is really starting to mount, and you're about to rebrand your logo. You're about to go to your own arena. You're separating yourself. You're cutting the umbilical cord with the Lakers because you kind of are already connected, even though you don't want to be. And you're finally kind of starting to sever that relationship. And it's time for you to step forward. And this is a playoff. And look, I know that we talked about the three teams ahead of them, but we all know that the West is really, really competitive and really, really tight. And I think this is as good of a year as any that you have a chance to make something of your team and actually, you know, make it to the Western Conference Final and even to the finals. And it's time that you step forward because I think everybody's sick and tired of hearing, oh, you know, is Kawhi going to do it? Is Paul George going to do it? Is this team going to be good enough? Are we really going to have relevance to the LA Clippers? It's time for them to do that. This is their first, I know they're not separated yet, but this is going to be their first kind of year that we think about them as, okay, now they're stepping out of the shadow. They need to step out of the shadow and say, fuck you, Lakers. We are our own team and do something about it.
Trayden, I'm about it. I love that a lot. I mean, we saw the Clippers as, you know, with the post Kobe Lakers and aging Kobe Lakers, the Clippers took this step forward and they were the better team in LA for a good part of a decade. The furthest they ever got was the Western Conference Finals. And they were a disappointment in the playoffs time and time again. Then the Kawhi and Paul George era started. Injuries have just derailed that team. And this is the first year you have James Harden, you have Russell Westbrook. If you look at the accolades of those four guys, 40 All-Star games between them, probably multiple MVPs. You know, Kawhi's a two-time champ. You know, there's a potential that that Paul George, Russell Westbrook, and James Harden all get their first championship this year. It's not going to be easy. The West is tough. There's no doubt about it, but I love that. This is a year that you've made these moves. James Harden didn't want to play in Philly. He only wanted to come to Clippers. That was like kind of his only thing. We need to see them do it. So I love that. I don't trust they'll do it because they're the Clippers and they're kind of like the Leafs, except there's no history behind them. For me, I had two. So I really want to see Anthony Edwards take that next step and be the star of the Minnesota Timberwolves. He's already that guy, but I want to see him do it in the playoffs because I think the NBA would really love if Anthony Edwards became the new face post KD, LeBron, Steph. I think they would love if Anthony Edwards is that guy. Maybe like him and Wemby are kind of the two faces of the NBA once the Spurs come back into relevance. The other one, the Orlando Magic. I joked months ago that they were going to be a top six team in the East. They're legitimately going to do it. It may fall apart. It's helped that Joel Embiid got hurt and the Sixers have tumbled, but they have a really good chance. If we were talking during the preseason and I said on March 18th with a month to go, the Orlando Magic had as many wins as the New York Knicks, no one would believe me. And that's what we're sitting at right here. And I would love to see the Magic and specifically Paolo, who made his first All-Star game, take that step forward and make the Magic relevant again since the early days of Dwight Howard. It's been a really long time since the Magic have been anything. And it'd be really cool if they could win a playoff series, go on a fun run. And I'd love to see them kind of take that next step. They're another team that look like they're poised to be good for the next 5 years or so, as long as they don't Orlando Magic it up and just trade everybody away. But that is all I've got, which means that's also all we've got. And the episode is over. So I'm so sorry you don't get to listen to us talk anymore. But hopefully all four of us will be back next week. I'm assuming Tyler will have woken up by then. I guess we will see. Other than that, I hope you guys have a great week. Enjoy the NBA. Enjoy hockey. If you're waking up to watch those baseball games, enjoy that. And hopefully your team has signed somebody you care about in the NFL. Either way, we'll talk to you guys next week. Bye.